Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. On Money FM 89.3, Tech Talk with Wong Kai Yee, tech contributor with the Business Times.
Well, thanks for staying with us right here on Money FM 89.3. It's time for us to talk tech or tech talk with our tech contributor for the Business Times.
Twist our tongues if you want.
Yeah. Wong Kai, welcome to the show. It was a Google bonanza last night as revealed that the new Pixel 4 flagship smartphone, as well as an incredible array of smart home devices and accessories. The tech giant is heaping even more emphasis on machine learning this time around in its devices. I mean, lay it out for us, Kaida. How do Google's latest smartphones stack up against the competition?
He's waving it at us.
I'm actually waving the brand new Pixel 4 in my hands right now. I just got it this morning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know, right? I have to show it off. It's so nice. So the case they gave us, it's a really nice sort of pattern case with orange highlight. Google always does nice cases.
How's the phone?
What do you mean
the case
inside
is really
the
nice,
case, that is the important thing. Actually, let's start with colors. So it's available in three colors: just black, clearly white, and the limited edition also orange. These are actually color names.
Also orange.
Yeah, also orange.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the smaller Pixel 4, the 5.7-inch Pixel 4, will start at 1119. And the 6.3-inch Pixel 4 XL goes up to 1319.
Wow.
So $200 difference for a bigger
Singapore
screen.
Singapore dollars.
Mm. Yes, Singapore dollars, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
$200
so
more.
So they're stacking up against the competition in terms of price.
Exactly. And actually, I want to talk about pricing for a while. The pricing is actually quite reasonable. I expected them to go up to like 1,000, you know, start from like 1,003 or something. It's actually not
Why?
Too bad. Because we've seen like we are in the era of the $1,000 smartphone, as we mentioned a few episodes earlier on the show. And, you know, Apple has been coming up with like $2,000 smartphones. Mm. Samsung's latest Galaxy Fold costs $3,000. But, of course, you get some niceties with that. And, you know, it stands to reason that a flagship smartphone of a major brand would start, you know, maybe $1,300 or something. Mm. But this pricing is actually pretty good. What's new from the Pixel 3? So we have quite a few interesting things. First off, we have the camera. So Google has included a second lens in the camera for the first time. So now we have two cameras on both Pixel 4 phones, the large and the small one. One is a telephoto lens and the other one is a normal one.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically Google is playing with its algorithms and giving us even better photography this time around.
Mm-hmm. And what does this mean for non-photographers? Explain how two cameras help make better pictures, so to speak, or what is it we're talking about? One zooming into your eyeball or...
That's actually a very interesting question. Okay, non-photographers, right. Mm. And anyone has ever used that portrait mode on your phone, the one that blurs the background?
Or
if you've touched it off like two times and then that's it?
I've touched it about it two times.
Ah, sure. Great. Okay, Bernard. So you are one of the few who have actually used portrait mode.
I have a blank look on my face. Continue, Kai.
So basically, this mode mimics a digital camera's, like a DSLR's, depth of field. So it blurs the background and keeps the subject in focus, basically.
Ah.
So having two cameras allows the phone to better sort of gauge the depth. Google has been able to do this in the past with just one lens, but now adding the second one, it's been able to do even more. And to add on to Google's night sight, which is their night mode, it's basically taking better pictures in the dark. It's incredible. Now Google has included something called astrophotography capability.
When you want to take pictures of Saturn,
probably, but maybe not in a flood lit Singapore. We have absolutely no dark places anywhere to take this. But the pictures they showed us were incredible. You could take basically pictures of the Milky Way or stars or something like that, and it's really quite nice.
From our position on Earth to
maybe not in Singapore, like I said.
See.
But if you go to some place dark, maybe out in sea or something, and you've got lots of stars and Google has this mode for you, so you know, one up on the competition there. And the second big headline feature is that Google has included a little radar in their phone, so people who maybe
get lost a lot might need it.
Well, it's not so much used for finding your way around, but so much but more for detecting hand gestures in front of the phone. So this is millimeter wave radar. It's actually a very small chip.
So Kai is attempting to do that.
Yes,
now. now.
I'm trying to wave
phone,
my hand in front of the phone and wake it up to some limited success. But
it refuses.
Yes, it actually does wake up. So it detects your hand in front of the phone, right? Mm-hmm. And when you wave your hand across it, you can do many things. So in the demo this morning, we were shown how to do things like change songs in your playlist, for example, just by waving your hand across the face of your phone.
Wow.
Might this make butt dialing even more prevalent?
Yes. I don't know. Maybe the millimeter wave radar doesn't detect, you know, your bottom.
Things of large size. Okay. What other smart devices and accessories did it reveal, Kai Yi?
So yesterday, Google revealed the Nest Mini, which is a smart speaker with a better speaker in there, 2x bass, they claim, and the improved Wi-Fi system. So previously it was called Google Wi-Fi, and now it's called the Nest Wi-Fi system. So it's the Nest Wi-Fi system is a router, is a wireless router, and it also incorporates a speaker in it. So it's a smart, it's a very clever router with a smart speaker in it. A lot of smarts, obviously, coming from Google. Mm-hmm. And so the Nest Mini will be sold for $79 on the Google Store, Challenger and Cord starting from 23rd October. Mm. And the Nest Wi-Fi router, which costs $229, and the Nest Wi-Fi point, which costs $199, will also be made available later from the same retailers. Keep your eyes out for that.
Great tip on that one there, Kai. Staying on Google, I mean, it holds by far the highest share of search ad revenue in the US, but it's slowly losing share to Amazon, whose search ad revenue share is climbing, according to a new study. Give us an idea, how much is Amazon gaining and how much is Google losing?
We all know that Google has the lion's share of search ad revenue anywhere, I mean, especially in the US, but Amazon is chipping slowly away. So Amazon's advertising business has seen quite big growth in recent years. It's climbed 37% to $3 billion in the second quarter of this year. For Google, actually, it makes up 84% of its parent company Alphabet's revenue. Right now, okay, Google has 73.1% share of that, which equals $40.3 billion. However, Amazon is expected to grow nearly 30% over last year to reach $7.09 billion in 2019, reaching 12.9% of market share. Amazon share is expected to grow to 15.9% by 2021, so 2 years from now. And Google is expected to contract to 70.5%, down from 73.1%.
Mm. Yeah. How do you think Amazon's doing this, gaining so quickly?
I mean, Amazon is a search giant, or not even a search giant, right? Soon it will be, but it's a retail giant. And it's just absolutely steamrolling everyone with their revenue. So on Amazon, you can buy basically anything, right? And the company's advertising functions about Amazon has solidified and simplified their branding, and it's now called Amazon Advertising. Mm. And the company has continued to beef up its offerings. So Amazon agreed to buy an ad server and a dynamic creative optimization unit in May, which basically helps advertisers place ads and measure their effectiveness and also aid in personalizing ads using data. Obviously using data, big data is the, you know, big words nowadays, helping to one-up themselves over Google.
Well, we're talking to our tech contributor for the Business Times, Wong Kai Yi, right here on Tech Talk on Money FM 89.3. How would you like your future flying car to be a Porsche? And that could be a reality if Porsche and the Boeing's collaboration produces something that eventually takes you airborne.
Assuming, Bernard, we all own Porsches and yay, we're going to be airborne.
We are making the assumptions.
We all have deep pockets, I think.
Sure.
Both firms announced that they will explore the premium air mobility market, leveraging on each other's unique strengths. So exactly why is there a collaboration between an aircraft maker and one of the best known sports car brands?
I think there is, looking at the news that came out of them, basically Porsche's a very premium sports car maker, shall we say, and Boeing is very good at making aircraft, of course. And I think the operative word here is premium. They are not looking at, you know, mass market.
Of course not.
Mass market urban air mobility, if there's ever such a thing, a one-man helicopter. It's the explosive growth in urban air mobility that Porsche is interested in. So according to a 2018 study by Porsche Consulting, the urban air mobility market will pick up speed after 2025. And the study also indicates that urban air mobility solutions will transport passengers much more quickly and efficiently than current conventional means of terrestrial transport. So people with obviously deep pockets, like we mentioned earlier, they have the option of simply literally...
Present company excluded.
Exactly. Skipping the traffic jams and being whisked away on these multi-bladed urban air mobility vehicles.
But not so soon, I'm sure. There's so many things to think about. Yeah, so now absolutely. Do you need to get a driver's license and a flying license or
Well, you see, Howie, so if when we go into the premium market, you're not expected to drive yourself, are you?
That's true.
Would your chauffeur need then also a flying license on top of his driver's license?
So that is very true.
You have a chauffeur come pilot.
Yes, they probably have a new class of license for that. Class 3-something, 3Z.
How do you think Porsche, or they could be called Porsche Air next time,
Porsche Air.
How might they achieve this? What might it look like?
Porsche, okay, so Porsche has released some initial drawings of this urban air mobility vehicle. It's a little, it's a very stubby thing. very small, very compact, but looks obviously looks very premium. It's got two little wings at the side, and but the companies are still in the process of obviously refining this design, and they said they will first form an international team to address quote-unquote various aspects of urban air mobility, including analysis of the market potential for premium vehicles and possible use cases, although I'm pretty sure that they're going to use it to transport very rich people around.
Look a bit like, if you'd like a visual, a Batmobile-ish.
Oh,
very Batmobile-ish, right? Yeah.
It looks cool.
And it's with the two huge exhausts behind. Mm. Yeah. It looks very much very Batmobile-y, which will probably be available to people of Bruce Wayne's wealth.
And you probably need a cape to ride in it, you know. Before we let you go, Kai, any tech fact you have for us today?
Yeah. So if we move on to Apple for a little bit. Have you ever noticed that every iPhone ad actually shows the time as 9:41 a.m.?
Actually, I haven't. I mean, it's like when they advertise any sort of watch, analog, it's at 10:08.
Exactly, right? Because that's to show the brand off in the middle. And it's a sort of visual uniformity, like, you know, you don't block the brand and you can see all the facets of the watch.
Mm-hmm. So what was the reasoning for iPhone's 9:41 a.m.?
There's another similar sort of iconic reasoning behind it. So that's because that was the exact moment that Apple founder Steve Jobs announced the first iPhone back in 2007.
Wow. Obviously a monumental moment.
Exactly. I still remember when he announced it and he just pulled it out.
What were you, knee high? How could you
possibly? Yeah, probably was knee high about that. Lower than this table that we are all sitting on, speaking about the moment. I still remember he was on stage speaking about combining the iPod and a phone all in one, and then he pulled out the iPhone from his pocket and I was like,
And then everyone
gracious.
Was, yeah.
Everyone
and life, as we say, changed completely after.
And the rest is history.
Of course. Tech contributor for the Business Times, Wong Kai-yi. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Kai-yi.
Thanks, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.